I thought everyone in Canada rode around on moose, though.
Yes, this will be the one problem to our plan. We don't have any cars. We use the local wildlife as transportation.
Just like
so
freedom.
Where do you put your petrol? Do you put it in the moose's mouth or in its anus? I don't know. I don't judge.
You don't feed a moose through its bum.
I don't know. I don't know how anatomy works.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have taken all 10 of your absences.
Wait,
oh, I forgot that I missed those classes.
Is Everest confused about anatomy? What?
Yeah, I don't know about moose anatomy.
Oh,
Canada
moose
has
anatomy.
Mandatory moose anatomy classes.
That's the best.
We have moose anatomy. We got our deer anatomy. For the mainlanders, we got elk anatomy. For some of the lucky folk, we got beaver anatomy.
Hello and welcome to Gentlemen Discussing Vidya, the only podcast that's still made from 99% pure sausages, and the official podcast of lunchtime.org.uk and gatheryourparty.com. My name's Catlin, and today I am joined by Happy Man.
Hello.
Juju.
Hello.
Jawny.
Hi.
Hacko Man.
Hey.
Zar.
Hello there.
Zevrex.
Hey.
And Zedman Tams.
What's going on, mate?
Next day is the 18th of March. Before I start, I have a little announcement. It makes me moderately happy to announce that the Gentlemen's Lunchtime Association will be partnering up with Gather Your Party, a startup gaming community site focusing on brutally honest game reviews, videos, and original writing. We'll be syndicating our podcast to their site, which will hopefully give them a bit more content and us a bit more exposure. So if you're listening to us from Gather Your Party, then hello!
Woo!
Thank you very much.
What happened this month? One thing that happened was that Edward McMullen, who is that dude who made The Binding of Isaac and is rude to people over Twitter, he got his game, The Binding of Isaac, rejected from the Nintendo 3DS store under the pretext that it might offend somebody. Ed McMullen obviously took to Twitter to bitch about it, because that's what he would do. But I kind of think he's got a point. It's, 2012 or something now? I don't know, I don't know the year. I mean, why are Nintendo still keeping up this attitude that they had in the 90s of anything with religious undertones is now bad and we're not allowed to have it on our system and let's take all the nipples on statues out of games? You know, what's with this?
They probably got to send it over Twitter.
I'm pretty sure Majora's Mask had some religious undertones.
I don't know.
If I had my 5-year-old kid playing a video game about a naked 10-year-old running around a basement with, you know, Satan symbolic or satanic symbolism and shit, you know.
Well, the game's not rated 3+. It's rated like 15 or something.
Something like that. Well, I don't know. I'm offended by how easily everyone's offended personally.
I'm with Hondo on this.
You're taking offense.
No, it's like, come on. It's sure, there's, you know, the back room where Satan sells these things, and it's a little naked kid who cries and things and kills them. And, you know, you should maybe be a responsible parent and just not let your kid play this game. It's like with anything else. If you find it offensive, don't let your kids play it.
Right. Is it about
maybe that's what Nintendo's doing, though.
Or do Nintendo think that the church is going to, like, boycott they let this game come out?
Yes, because the Pope loves, you know, playing on his 3DS after giving a sermon in the Vatican.
Excuse me, I need to play to this level.
Hope for guest star in the next Super Mario game. He's Italian. Fit right in.
I would play that. And he should have a special ability to hover with his Pope hat, like Peach had in Mario 2.
Riding around in his Pope mobile playing Mario Kart.
They made fun of the cross.
I think Nintendo just wanted to avoid the whole PETA thing again. Which was... PETA?
I don't even want to talk about that.
That was fucking stupid. Pardon my language.
I think PETA got, like, more bad advertisement from that than good.
All publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Do they even get good publicity these days, though?
No, they don't.
No.
Have you seen anything they've put out? Like,
no, I don't even pay attention to them.
Cooking Mama is murder. Super Mario Brothers is murder. Everything is murder. The way they dispose of the animals that they
cook with.
Liberate, shall we say? Yeah, you don't want to know about that, to be honest. Man. They can't provide homes for all of them. What do they do with the rest? Guess what? They euthanize them. Oh, well done, Peter. Well done. You friggin' liberated a lab rat from a lab that was researching a cure for cancer or some shit, couldn't find a home for it, and killed it. Bloody well done.
Very good.
I don't know where that came from.
Hey, whatever flows from the soul, mate. Whatever flows from the soul.
So, yeah, I think from the soul. Every Nintendo game should make fun of Christianity, personally.
No, I was going to say, I don't know if like, Christian groups are going to get mad, because I think we're kind of past the moral panic. Nobody really cares about video games anymore, it seems.
Christian
just, like,
get mad all the time.
Controversy. Except for PETA, who, they get mad about everything, but... We don't have that many, like, moral panics as we used to when it comes to video.
Peter will get mad at you for crushing a snail with a goddamn car. And you even see
Yeah, Peter gets mad at everything, but I'm talking about the general public. Like, they don't seem to get as mad as about video games as they used to.
The general public, though, they're more religious than you give them credit for. They're certainly more religious than I give them credit for. Even in this country, we're still not a proper secular society. God knows why.
General public doesn't get mad. The group publicizes the issue and makes a bigger stink about it leads to, you know, polarization of the general public.
So, quick question. When the Binding of Isaac first, you know, arrived on Steam or whatnot, I wasn't really following the news. Was there initially a general outcry, though? Like, were people...
No one had any problems with it at all.
Nobody cared at all.
Would anybody even notice it going on the store? I mean, would anybody even care?
If a parent sees his kid play it or something, start shit about it, I think.
Most
parents don't care about age limitations and then get mad at it.
Well, that's still their fault.
Then they're bad parents.
It's really easy to violate that. I mean, come on. We've all been doing that since before we were 17.
Oh, of course. Video games are, like, the easy way to keep your kid entertained. So parents are just like, whatever, get you this, you're happy, you leave me alone. Thumbs up.
No, I'm talking about things like online. If we're talking about 3DS store, and that's online distribution, online distribution's really easy to fool. I mean, no one else is required to verify your age.
You need a credit card.
There is actually, like Kat's been saying, there's a credit card, and the 3DS does have parental locks on it. You can go in, parents can go in, they can set up parental locks, so anything over, you know, this amount of, you know, age rating or whatnot has to be, you know, you have to put in a little code, and then it, you know, allows you to access it, and supposedly only the parent will know that code.
Well, I wouldn't give my kid my credit card anyway.
Exactly, that's another thing. That's another thing. You got, you know, don't give your kids credit cards and don't give them too much length on the leash, you know? Am I the only one who puts leashes on my children?
Yeah.
Oh. When I was a kid, my parents put me on a leash. I used to walk everywhere at a 45-degree angle. I was, like, pulling on it. They got really tired of it. It was great.
That's funny. I still have a chastity belt, so I'm set.
Anyway, right, next thing, let's move on.
Yes.
Blizzard Entertainment laid off 600 people recently, 10% of which were actual developers. Mike Morhaime says, and I quote, "Over the last several years, we've grown our organization tremendously and made large investments in our infrastructure in order to better serve our global community. However, as Blizzard and the industry have evolved, we've also had to make some difficult decisions in order to address the changing needs of our company. Now, World of Warcraft lost a whole 100,000 subscribers between October last year and January of this year. Do you think all these free-to-play MMOs are maybe making a tiny dent in World of Warcraft's dominance?
100,000 out of millions. Holy shit.
Hey, 100,000 subscribers is
that's
a
still
lot.
Pretty big. Especially yeah, since, like, Guild Wars 2 and the Star Wars MMO came out and all that jazz.
That number used to be going up at a steady rate. Now it's going down.
It's normal competition.
Well, the thing is, Blizzard's sort of been on top of the pile here for the last, like, what, 8 or 9 years? And now they're, you know, they've kind of hit that peak, and they're starting to peter out, and, you know, people are getting tired, or they just want something new, so they're going, you know, and tons of MMOs are coming out, and, you know, over the last year, over the next year, there's tons of options coming out, and people want to try something new.
Yeah. WoW is not as interesting anymore. I've spoken I'm sure and many of us have people who know people who have played WoW religiously for a while.
People who know people who've played WoW.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I say that far away.
I know a lot of them say that, hey, you know, we're kind of, you know, bored. It's kind of becoming, you know, rehashed every time. We don't really want to see, you know, it's not fun anymore. It's not original.
It's just going through the motions at this point.
Pretty much. It's a natural life and lifespan of an MMO.
Just happened to be a little bit longer than all the others.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what happened to Rift? I don't hear any information about that anymore. Diablo 3 is coming out too, so that's another thing.
Not an MMO. It's not World of Warcraft. Stop associating Diablo 3 with World of Warcraft, please.
My apologies. Hey,
gotta,
I was just saying that it was coming out and it's going to be a big game.
I have to know. 600 people. How many of those were StarCraft II developers?
I don't know. Like, only 10% of them were actual developers. A lot of them went from other areas of the company.
Like, so, Diablo 3 developers? Like, the janitor or something? Or, like, were they actually actively involved with, you know,
they fired the snack game development guy. Or was it just that? I like Snackroom guy.
I don't think it's
He's from Valve, though.
God bless you, Valve. I think a lot of them were from customer support, I was told. That might not be right.
No.
That means they can work for BioWare's customer support.
Oh,
they need help right now.
BioWare's gonna need it.
BioWare has customer support? What?
BioWare has customers?
Oh, not right now, they don't. They've just got a lot of mad people. Oh, man.
BioWare making everybody mad. That's later in the list.
Yeah, that's like a little bit down the road.
I can't wait till that. We're going to be on that subject for a while, I think.
We talk about BioWare every time. It's really amazing how BioWare managed to fuck up like every week. Just every week BioWare fucks up somehow. It's great that we are able to talk about it every podcast.
That should be like a record or something.
I feel bad for the guy that's running the Twitter.
Screenshot. You know, he's probably not one of the guys that developed the game. He's just some low-level grunt that they took on to talk to people on Twitter, and everyone hates him.
There was, like, some post, oh, man, I really liked the game, and he's like, oh, what did you like about it? Oh, you bought that? I actually hated the ending. Poor guy.
My favorite one is the colorblind one. It's like, hey, you know, I love the game, but when do you think you can start, you know, working on something for colorblind customers? Yeah, we'll get right on that. Yeah, we'll put that forward. Thanks, I've only been getting one ending.
So good.
That was just, like, perfectly pulled off. To a T.
I don't get it.
Let's wait until we get to BioWare.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, apologies.
Right.
So, like, let's say 60 people were actual, you know, guys who were sitting behind computers making the games. So the other 540 people were just, you know, it doesn't matter, well, for the game sense, I suppose, it doesn't matter where they came from. They're just like the receptionists and, you know, support
snack
and stuff
food
like that.
Snack food guy.
Coffee bringer.
Yeah.
But it's still a sign that Blizzard is losing money and is could potentially go to shrivel, die, and become an empty shell of its former self, like Square.
Are they really losing money or just making a little less profit?
What's the difference?
Probably assume the latter.
Well, they probably, you know,
sounds more negative than the other is the thing. Oh man, we're losing tons of money.
boat of money.
I can't afford this Lamborghini over this one.
I wanted the red one. It goes faster.
Bobby, what do you think? Fuck, I don't know. I was planning on buying 5 of them. Now I can only get 4.5.
What would you do with half a Lamborghini?
Fuck, I don't know. Just put it in my driveway and say, fuck yeah, look at this. I got half a Lamborghini.
Yeah, he's Lamborghini. Sweet, sweet. I would brag for having half a Lamborghini. Turn it into a couch. That'd be cool.
Oh,
or a bed. Lamborghini bed. You know you want it.
I'll just put the half up against my house and try to create a clever story.
I sleep in a race car. What do you sleep in?
Oh, man.
I sleep in a bed that would actually get me laid. I mean, see, I would love a Lamborghini.
You don't think sleeping in a Lamborghini would get you laid?
Yeah.
But bitch, I sleep in half a Lamborghini.
Go pick her up
especially
in a Lamborghini
half
and
a
then
Lamborghini
go.
With no mattress or lumbar support. No thanks.
But no, if they're just getting rid of 600 people right now, I think it's just that they've realized, you know, they're taking steps to play down the income they're getting from World of Warcraft. They realize it's not going to be, you know, what they're used to anymore, so they're just, you know, sort of stepping things down.
Maybe preparing for the inevitable.
Yeah, they're, you know, preparing. Prepare.
Next on the agenda, crappy, overpriced, uninventively titled UK Game Shop game will not be stocking any EA games, including Mass Effect 3, after the latest SFX Tricky. In an official statement, they said they valued the loyalty of their customers very highly and apologized sincerely, which must be why they only offered to refund people's pre-order in store credit. Later, they said they'd refund it in cash, but only for one day, and as a gesture of goodwill. Cheeky sods.
Another one day.
Another anonymous and unaccountable spokesperson for the game said this was due to a so-called supply issue. An internal memo that was leaked says, "We are committed to stocking products on which we can get the right credit terms, regardless of the title or supplier. We will not stock products if the terms are not right for our business, a position we believe is critical to our long-term health. We've taken the very difficult decision not to stock EA's March releases, including Mass Effect 3. Gentlemen, why won't brick-and-mortar stores just die already and leave us all alone?"
Well, I don't know, I can sort of understand where they're coming from, because fucking Mass Effect 3 came out, and it was like $70 for the PC copy, for the console copy, and usually PC copies are about $10 cheaper in North America, right?
Yeah, they should be everywhere, because of the lack of a licensing fee.
Exactly, but instead, EA was like, nope, Mass Effect 3, we've put such a fucking, you know, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like, polish and like so much gloss on this.
What are you going to get from EA though?
Exactly, I tell you, we got to sell it because we can get away with it. And lo and behold, they did.
Yeah.
The only thing is they pissed off probably a lot of retailers.
Oh yeah. Well, they pissed off customers too. Everybody pissed off everyone.
They haven't pissed off.
Bobby Kotick isn't pissed off.
I'm the sort of person who's used to getting like I bet he is because he's Activision and EA's EA. I'm used to getting PC games for like £5 in Steam sales or, you know, bargain bins or whatever. I'm not going to pay £50 for any PC game ever.
And it's a fair point. I mean, shit, I remember when video games were like $30 for a new title. And it's like, oh shit, Super Mario 64 just came out. $29.99.
Mommy, can I get this new game?
Pretty much. Actually, no, I got Super Mario 64 for Christmas, so I don't know how much it was.
Do you have pictures?
Probably.
You think this is something to do with Origin?
I don't know. Origin
like,
just had
like,
their 50% off sales.
Yeah, they got that. I might get Battlefield 3, but I don't want Origin. I hate the fact
that's not
that they
sale.
Make you install Origin. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, they're is trying it? To screw you over. Yeah, it's so bad.
But the whole thing is
go away.
Origin thing is ridiculous. I mean, we've already got, everyone's already kind of invested in Steam, right? And then EA kind of comes to the market fucking years later with a program nobody really wants or cares about. It doesn't offer
hey guys,
anything
can
new.
Be cool too?
That's pretty much it.
I mean,
yeah,
and I've only heard bad things about it.
Downloadable game service, but we decided to wait 5 years to see if Steam was good first.
I think the whole point was like, hey, Steam is making money, we want that money, let's make one too. The sort of origin. Yeah, that would work. People will like that.
Because we're original.
Oh boy.
But no, seriously, I think it's because it might... I don't know, because I obviously haven't bought the PC version of Mass Effect 3. Do you think it's because it's got some sort of origin component to it? And it might require, like, activation on Origin or, you know, something like that, and they just desperately don't want people to even be vaguely aware this there is some alternative to walking into game and having the employees sneer at you.
I think they're just trying to get their hooks in you and just drag you down with them. I don't know.
Well, what I think is stupid is the whole integration of Origin with a lot of their games is like, it's mandatory, it's required, you have to have it.
And that's a pain in the butt to the customer. And, like, under any circumstances.
Here's another thing, though, is a lot of times if they, like, with Mass Effect 3, if they ban you from the multiplayer, you lose access to the single player as well, then.
I was going to get on to that later, but yeah.
Forget I said that then. But the thing is that, like, Origin pretty much grabs you by the balls, won't let go, and then you're like, here, just take $50, let me be on my way. And it's like, nah, I'm going to keep your $50 and your balls. And that's,
DRM general.
Yeah, you know, that's what you got to deal with.
And you got to be an obedient little shit, otherwise you're going to just get your balls off.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get any options other than that. I mean, at least with Steam, you can buy, like, non-Steam versions of the game. You can go out, buy the game in the store, and just do whatever the fuck you want.
Wait, you can?
Oh, yeah.
There are non-Steam versions
of games. Wait, we can leave our house?
No, Zedman's, no.
No, you get it mailed to you. You get it mailed to your house. Oh, what do you mean, leave your house?
Oh, good.
Are you mad?
I think I, like, fed my dog once.
What is this magical outside you refer to?
I think I have pictures of that somewhere.
I read about it once in a book.
A book?
That was before they invented video games.
Whoa. Easy. Okay.
Are you a dinosaur?
Shall we move on?
Mass Effect 3 is out. Right?
Yes.
There's pretty much unanimous critical acclaim for the game from so-called professional critics, but users don't agree, citing hammy cutscenes, outdated graphics animations, vast swathes of on-disc DLC at launch, people being banned from single-player for connecting to modified multiplayer servers, what is an extremely disappointing ending, and the game currently has virtually no user score on Metacritic, and the critic score is like 90 or something ridiculous. IGN writer Colin Moriarty says gamers are entitled for complaining about Mass Effect 3's quality. Are you entitled?
To complain about a game that you bought?
You forgot about stock footage, Tully.
Did I forget about what?
Stock footage, Tully.
Oh no. Yeah, I'll dig up that picture.
Got photographs for
of, like,
everything.
All the shit. Where is it? I've got it dug around here somewhere. It's just a whole fucking list. Like, the internet communities have been piling together this list of, like, all the things they've been doing wrong.
Isn't the end like the end of Ghostbusters on the NES? And it goes like, congratulations, you've completed a great game. Now look out for
now buy
DLC.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just text on a screen.
That's anyway, let's talk about entitlement.
Okay. Yeah. I think they're misusing the word entitled here, to be honest. I think they're using it to mean the same thing as spoiled. But actually, it doesn't. If you're entitled to something, then you have the right to it. So if you buy a disc with data on it, then surely you should be entitled to the entire contents of that disc.
Agreed.
Yeah, I bought the game. I have the right to complain about it.
What it used to be was if a game was made and there was something extra that, you know, the developer made, they would be like, oh man, this is really cool. Let's just kind of package that in there. We'll just squish it in there. And now it's like, oh look, we made something really cool. Well, you know, we could probably make this into DLC. And that's what they do now. Like, the thing about it being on the disc, that's sort of, you know, don't be mad that it's on the disc for that fact. because that prevents you having to like download the whole file. I mean, it's just, it puts it right there. All you have to do is activate it and it makes it a little quicker. But the, what pisses me off is that they've already made it. They probably had plans about it and they probably made it solely for the fact of DLC. But it's something so simple as an extra character, a couple bit dialogue choices, and it's like, they could have thrown that in with the game.
It's the fact that it's on the disc to me shows, because like when a game's developed, there's a certain point in the game's development which it goes gold and the game's finalized and it goes off and you get CDs made of it and those CDs are all sent off to stores. And I imagine during that time the developers probably sat there twiddling their thumbs. So actually, I don't mind as much if they make something then in a period when they might otherwise have been doing nothing. But if this is gone onto the disc, it means they had plans for it the whole time, basically.
Because they couldn't put it in production until they had the DLC that's on the disc done.
A lot of the times, a lot of companies go into making a game with the idea of there being DLC. Like, they make the game... Yeah.
Just go into business with the idea of selling out, Daco Man.
I know, that's a terrible, like, standpoint, but it's unfortunately kind of true.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them for making DLC. But it would be nice if they have already made it before release, that they could just, you know, stop being such fucking grubby jerks and just give it to us.
Didn't BioWare say that they created the character for the Prothean and wrote him into the story during the story process? And they did the same thing in Mass Effect 2 with Zaid, that extra character that you can download in the beginning for free, and Kasumi, that they were written to the story, but they weren't, they were either cut or developed later at a later stage. And they did the same thing with the Prothean.
I don't know.
No, I ain't got a clue. Although they did release some developer notes that people have been criticizing them about as well. Apparently the Prothean's not even that interesting. I've watched some videos on it. All he does is really sort of grumble about things and like revenge and stuff.
And he's Jamaican.
My roommate Jamaican loves
Yeah, he's a Jamaican.
Hey man, we're gonna destroy the Reapers, man.
Oh man, I'm even more pissed that I have to pay for him now.
Game wouldn't be the same without the Jamaican guy.
He's in essence Mass Effect 3's Jacob. He is the black guy of Mass Effect 3.
Does he die first?
Well, technically, his entire race... his entire race died first already, so yeah. Sure, yeah. There you go. They all died first. He's the black guy of Mass Effect 3.
The people of his race look nothing like him. Like how they were described in Mass Effect 1. Just look completely different.
Yeah, they retconned a lot of stuff like lore that got people really mad. I don't really give a crap about lore and continuity. I can sort of see why they did it, but on the other hand, I would have liked to see him with like a face full of tentacles or something. That would have been more interesting than every alien is bipedal and has a vaguely human face.
Well, he had to be somewhat reminiscent. It had to be somewhat reminiscent of the collectors from the first one, because they were Protheans.
The collectors were not in the first one.
My apologies. Yeah, they were Prothean before, but of course whenever you get taken over by Reaper, you become ugly and hideous. And
they were kind of the same.
Facebook's pentacles isn't ugly and hideous.
Yeah, they gotta have some features still the same.
There's two races in there that are not the bipedal humans. There's the Hanar, which are literally just big pink jellyfish. They're just big, stupid jellyfish. And then there's the Elcor, who are, you know, they walk around on their knuckles. The monotone guys is like, "Hello, human. Please, greeting." Like, you know, those guys. They're, you know,
the Elcor are my favorite part about Mass Effect.
They created an alien that looks like a blob and is really annoying. That's great.
It has wiggly feet. It has wiggly bits.
Wait, is that Navi? Yes.
Miyamoto must have done this. But no, I guess, you know, it's really a lack of, I guess if you could say, creativity. It's like, okay, just make a big space jellyfish and you know, these half gorilla, half elephant, half, you know, things.
The Old Republic was the worst for this. I saw a comparison online of the races from the Old Republic with the faces obstructed, and they're all the exact same character model, just with different colored hands. It was amazing.
Different colored hands.
Well, at least in Mass Effect they have different body types for the most part.
Yeah, that's true.
Two different jaw hinges and whatnot.
Yeah, well, Turians are kind of all spiny and shit. The Quarians kind of have the wiggly legs and whatnot.
Quarians look exactly like humans. It's canon. You know, did you see the stock photo?
Well, yeah, look, the faces. I'm talking about the body composition. That, you know, three fingers and, well, they look like frogs. That's what they look like.
They look like frogs?
They look like big bipedal frogs.
Are we talking about...
I don't know.
Quarians?
Look at their legs and their arms. And they look like frogs.
Their legs look more like dog feet, to be honest, or cat feet or something. Some sort of four-legged animal. Some sort of leg that wouldn't actually work on a creature with two legs.
More or less.
Pretty much, yeah.
Can I just talk about the Prothean real fast?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So my roommate has Mass Effect 3, and I periodically watch him play from time to time. And he was discussing it with me, and he's just like, oh, the Prothean's so awesome and shit, and I'm like, well, why? Because he goes on rants about how other races suck or just inferior to the Prothean. And I'm like, why do they even have that in the game? Because the Prothean were wiped out, and the other races survived. He has no right to say that he's the fucking best race ever if he got wiped off on the fucking face of the galaxy.
He's alone. Makes sense, because the Bioware explanation why all the races look the same is the Protheans meddled around with a lot of races that they were developing to look more like them, like just body structure wise, because they wanted to use the soldiers once they had evolved. And now this guy just shits on them, like, fuck these guys that created.
I think my understanding for that is that he's not, like, a scientist. He's not, like, a Prothean scientist, so he wouldn't really, know. So I guess it's understandable. It's just like, oh, great. Inferior races.
Think of it this way. You're put into cryogenic stasis for 50,000 years, and at the time that you're awake, you're there like, oh, look at, you know, these blue people on this planet. Well, they're fucking living in caves and doing whatnot. And, oh, look at the humans on this planet living in caves and shit. You come back 50,000 years later, it's like, wait, you guys were just living in caves and shit? Fuck, I'm surrounded by plebeians. Good guys.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it would be like you waking up 50,000 years later and suddenly, you know, crawfish have evolved to be the dominant race of the planet. And it's like, I don't even know what you look like. You're a crawfish.
Crawfish town.
Yeah, exactly.
Stew every night.
Or it's like, you know, things that you would thought have been, you know, just bugs or insects to you, literally, are suddenly, you know, the dominant species. And are flying around with, you know, pew 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 laser guns and shit, you know.
I guess it's kind of like, how people who've been on 4chan for a couple of years feel when they see Rage comics now.
Exactly.
Perfect analogy. New SimCity is going to be released sometime in 2013. I saw the origin page. There's two things to note about this that I would like to bring up. First of all, there will be two editions of the game that are origin exclusive. The Digital Deluxe Edition and the Digital Collector's Edition. Secondly, in Europe, I'm choosing Europe because the price is basically most outrageous. There's a limited edition for €60, which is about €80, which contains a few pre-order bonuses and a few new characters and types of buildings. And there's a digital deluxe edition for €80, which is about $105, which contains different city graphics and the styles of different countries. So like British, French and German. At this time, EA do not appear to be selling a regular version of the game. They just appear to be selling those two versions, though that might change in the future, I don't know. So yeah, They've obviously invested so much money into the development of SimCity 3 that they have to charge this amount and just get back the money that they spent. Who else agrees with me?
No.
I'm too biased. I hate EA. Everybody hates EA.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think everybody hates them.
Nobody's liked EA since the 80s. Same with Activision. Nobody liked Activision since after they made, like, Pitfall on the Atari.
Don't worry, they'll bring out DLC, like, day two anyway, so they'll make the money back.
DLC, normal edition. Didn't want the collector's edition? Here's the normal one.
Yeah, you have to pay 50 more euro just to get to the normal edition.
Yeah, that sounds something like EA. They need to go, like, and make Facebook games. They'd fit perfect there.
Oh, God.
Yep. They would be wonderful.
They would get so goddamn much money if they made Facebook games.
Yeah, but Mark Zuckerberg would get a cut as well.
And they can't let anyone else get any of their hard-earned cash.
The only way to make Facebook games, really, is to, like, take someone else's game idea and boil it down to, like, a Skinner box of a game and then fill it with as many,
accessories,
microtransaction things that you can to give people that reward stimulus. And it's the most boring, demeaning, soul-destroying way of making games, but it's also, like, the easiest way to make money.
And you think EA
would just go to Facebook and make games there so they can leave real video games alone?
Yeah, what point is EA above that?
Exactly. That sounds exactly like Activision, their neighborhood.
I think that's where Activision's going to turn to next after the FPS stop selling.
Yeah, because they've had that Guitar Hero.
When their
FPS
stops selling, that won't ever happen.
No, because Guitar Hero, if you remember, they saturated the market with it and now nobody buys the damn things anymore. They ran it into the ground. They are going to run FPSs into the ground at some point. It's not evitable. It is going to happen.
And then Action Adventure will come and rise up from the ashes.
No,
we can but hope.
Will turn terrible.
Action Adventure, yes. 2 items only.
But that first year and a half is going to be golden.
Yeah, I guess when Modern Warfare first came out, like, it was well received. Everybody liked it. I mean, shit, I liked it. I played a lot about it because it was new, or not new, but it was, you know, it was good.
I didn't like it, but I could see why other people would, you know. It wasn't like the sort of thing that had come out 5 times before and everyone was friggin' bored of it already.
Yeah.
And then it was.
And then it was, but that's the thing. Before they ran it into the ground, it was actually an alright game.
Well, they drove off a lot of the original developers for it, didn't they? Lots of Infinity Ward left to go found their own studio because they said Activision was treating them like crap.
A lot of games, that happens to a lot of people, though. A lot of companies do happen to have to go through that.
I feel bad for Peter Molyneux, to be honest. We'll get onto this later, but his companies just keep getting bought by people.
But it's like some sort of like game developer horror or something now?
I think so, yes.
Oh, dear.
Here's an interesting thing about this SimCity stuff, right? In Europe, regional pricing, right? I noticed that Football Manager is way more expensive on the UK version of Steam than the US version of Steam. It's purely because, you know, football, as in like soccer, actual football that you play with your foot, is way more popular in the UK than it is in the US. And it's sort of like a supply and demand thing. Like, there's more demand for it, so we'll sell it for more. But in this case, there isn't actually an actual limited physical amount of supply of the game, and yet the rules of supply and demand still sort of exist. So I'm wondering if they're charging more for SimCity in Europe just because it's more popular there and they can get away with it.
Well, wasn't there a thing when the Old Republic was first released, they had like limited copies of the digital download? A limited time only digital download, like buy it now before we can not.
We run out of digital downloads.
Pretty much.
Cost more.
Steam
it sounds like it would cost more.
That, like, everyone loves WoW. That happened to Steam, and it happened because for some of their digital downloads, all they do is buy CD keys in bulk, send them to people. So, I don't know, that might be it. But then again, they've never done it for their own first-party games. Oshad Scotsman here. He could explain the economics of supply and demand to me.
Yeah, if you have something, if you have something that's offered way above the equilibrium supply and demand, then well, you're just gonna have a surplus of it. It's just not gonna sell.
How about this? Got apples and oranges. Lots of people like apples, but nobody likes oranges. So you try to sell more apples, but then you keep selling apples, and people are like, you know, maybe I'll try some oranges today. And then you start selling the oranges, and you realize, wait, more people want oranges now, and we don't have a lot of them. So let's just fucking crank the price up, and then there's like a shitload of apples that nobody wants anymore, so they're like, all right, well, you
and nobody
don't...
buys the, nobody buys the oranges because they're expensive as hell.
Imagine that circumstance, but imagine instead you have infinite apples and oranges, and there's always a different demand for them. Now how do you price them?
Well, I don't know. I'm not some fucking apple and orange, you know, serious motherfucker. I was just simplifying it.
Yeah, you're more of a fruit bowl guy. Let me just buy all these games for cheap.
All about fruit bowls and shit. But no, like, I was just sort of trying to simplify it as much as I could.
The
idea is that if you do have an infinite amount of apples and an infinite amount of oranges, and, you know, people like them at different times, supply and demand should literally kind of be moot. It shouldn't matter.
But, I love that you kind of trailed off on the metaphor there. You didn't say, I don't know, I'm not
an
economist.
Can we talk about fruit?
You said, I don't know, I'm not as serious
about
apples and oranges.
I saw a video on the internet that showed me how to properly eat a pomegranate recently.
Oh, God.
And
wait, there's a proper way?
Well, some people apparently put them in water and then peel them. Some people split them open and they get the seeds everywhere. What you're meant to do is cut it in a segmented way and then sort of peel the outer casing off, apparently, and cut it like melons. Just thought I'd let you know that.
Melons.
I shucked a coconut once. It took me like 2 hours to shuck this coconut, and then I went down to a beach and I ran around like they do in Monty Python, and people looked at me funny. That's the end of my story.
And an interesting story it was.
Can't really tell that many interesting stories about fruit.
Not really, that's the only thing that I love coconuts though. They just take forever to shuck.
Coconuts are the shit.
I don't think that's technically a fruit though.
Why not? Is it a nut?
I'm pretty
sure
it's a fruit.
Is a coconut technically a nut, or is
it
a fruit?
It is not a nut. It's a fruit.
But
I
don't know.
A
nut has, like, its own... Like, there's a certain thing about something that makes it a nut, as opposed to a fruit, and I can't remember what it is now. But there are some things that we take to be fruits that are actually nuts, I think, and maybe vice versa.
So we've got apples and oranges and coca possibly nuts.
Hold on. The term coconut can refer to the entire coconut palm, the seed, or the fruit, which is not a botanical nut.
Wait, so coconuts have fruit inside them?
Yeah,
we've
well,
been
the white stuff on the inside.
Yeah. Whenever you open it up, there's white stuff on the inside that tastes exactly like the milk anyway, and it takes forever to shuck out, but it tastes delicious and it's really chewy. And that's a fruit.
I do not understand coconut economics. Let's move on.
Did you ever get a bad coconut? They taste terrible.
Wait, what were we talking about again?
Newsom
City.
Fruits.
In biology, he once ate a laurel leaf, and then he was sick on the floor, and the lady who takes care of the labs had to clean it up, and I felt really bad for her. Because I've cleaned Rob Dyer's sick out of the floor, and I can tell you, it's horrible stuff.
Isn't there, like, a waiver you're supposed to sign before doing labs at school that's like, I won't eat stuff from the lab?
It was a laurel leaf. It's not like he, you know, downed a liter of 1 mole of sodium hydroxide. It was a friggin' leaf. Anything makes that guy throw up, I swear.
Maybe his gag reflexes suck.
Maybe his gag reflex is just too good. Maybe it's overacting.
Maybe he's like Steve-O and he just like throws up on everything that he does.
Oh no, he's grabbed something. Oh no, it comes with the mouth, better prepare.
That's pretty
nice. I wasn't even gonna eat it.
Right, here we go. 4chan's V-Board has won another battle in its so far successful campaign against the PlayStation Vita, professional gaming journalism, people who pirate video games, people who buy video games, BioWare, Reddit, women, normal people, and fun. A whole slew of gaming websites, including Eurogamer, Joystick, GameSpot, and that bastion of quality and professionality that is Kotaku, reported that Play.com had started selling GTA Vice City Nights, Tales of Innocence R, Final Fantasy Type-0 HD and Monster Hunter Portable 3 for Sony's PlayStation Vita. All of these websites reported this story along with a screen grab originating from V. Anyone could whip up in Photoshop or Firefox's Inspect Element or whatever in a few minutes. Apparently none of these sites bothered to take 30 seconds to go to Play.com and search for these titles or even ask Play.com if these were titles being sold. Jason Schreier, Kotaku blogger, issued an apology stating, "I'm very sorry for being such a worthless, untalented, bottom-feeding hack who has no idea of the very basics of online fact reporting. To be frank, I'm surprised I've not yet choked to death on my own tongue." He didn't actually say that, by the way. Play.com later had to issue a statement confirming that the screenshots were fabricated and that those games, like many others, would not be appearing on the Vita anytime soon. Did you have any respect for mainstream gaming journalism before this? And if so, is it finally gone?
I was when you were issuing that whole rant, made up rant. But then when you said it wasn't real, I lost all respect again.
And sometimes there you go.
Sometimes I watch that zero punctuation guy, and he's kind of funny. Other than
Benjamin Yahtzee Croshaw.
And Yahtzee, he grew up in my area, you know. Why sometimes people say I sound a bit like him. I'm not trying to imitate him. I just have that rugby inflection.
If you sped up your voice by 300%, it'd probably sound a bit like him.
And if Casman was just a general douchebag and loved Minecraft.
Complained about everything.
I think he was a bad guy, Yahtzee. Also, I do hate everything.
Oh my god.
But Kotaku, like, they're at the bottom of the gaming journalism ecosystem. We know this.
Kotaku is complete garbage.
Yeah, I mean, they're so unprofessional. The bloggers aren't really that much better than your average YouTube commenter, to be honest. But other sites pick this up as well, including Eurogamer and Joystick, which are two sites I have a little bit more respect for. Like, I saw this screenshot on V. I saw it, and I was like, looked at it for about 15 seconds. Looks fake. Moved on with my life. Why? Why didn't they?
It's a good question. We don't know the details, unfortunately.
I wish I could find you the image, but I don't have the image. It wasn't really that convincing.
Well, you know, they want people to read their news site, so want some big news to be on there.
That's
don't have
thing,
to check the sources
it?
First.
It's the typical tabloid mentality of I just want to get as many views for as little effort as possible. The thing about games journalists is you can send them pretty much whatever you like and they'll almost certainly post it on their website just because it's a free story for them that they don't have to go out and look up.
So, they can't even like, bothered to Google it.
Yeah, so that's how the Hamburger Helper stuff spread to mainstream gaming journalism was because someone from B, I think, told Jim Sterling that it was all Reddit's fault, and then it was.
Hey, Jim, we
yeah,
didn't
B just blames everything on Reddit now. It's great.
It's brilliant,
it works.
Isn't it? They get blamed for everything as well.
Yeah, and they love it. They love the attention they're getting, but they're gonna...
That's
not gonna last forever.
It really has. It has jumped the shark. I remember a time when it was more in depth, whereas now it's all just screenshots of things that people made on imager.com with the logo removed. It's basically like a slightly better version of 9gag. And the thing is, even the subreddits, like the small ones, the bigger they get, the worse they get, until eventually they just become as shit as all the others.
Are there pictures
the bigger
of cats
they get,
everywhere?
The worse they get is really the case with just about everything on the internet.
Yeah, I guess. Because it sort of makes it sad, really. The bigger it gets, the more it has to just appeal to the lowest common denominator.
Wait, didn't you say this podcast was supposed to make us bigger?
Shut up. But not too big.
Don't worry, we'll sell out later.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll start charging people to watch our streams at 20 euro per minute.
That seems reasonable. I paid 20 euros for that.
Maybe we can get sponsored by EA.
We'll play all your games and give it good praises.
See,
By the way, quickly, going back to Mass Effect, I found that picture. Of all things.
Have a look, okay. Oh, gosh. Yes.
There's a lot.
Nobody mentioned robotic camel toes.
No, there's a robotic camel toe. I was having a conversation with a friend on Facebook the other day, and he asked me, he's like, so you play Mass Effect 3, right? I was like, yeah. He's like, does the robot have RoboVag? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't checked. And, you know, then I stumbled across this, and I message him back. I'm like, you remember that conversation a couple days ago about RoboVag? He's like, yeah. I'm like, man, you were right. There is a RoboVag.
I should have mentioned this when we talked about Tali's stock photo. They edited out two fingers, because Quarians only have three fingers. But that doesn't even make sense, because the finger bones are still there. And the hand is horribly off-center, and it's really poorly done, and it's hilarious.
It would have been better if they chopped out, like, the middle one and kept the ring and index fingers.
Yeah. Also, how was this photo taken? Like, in Mass Effect, because she's standing outside in the field wearing, you know, normal clothes. She can't do that. She'd die.
Don't judge me for this. But, well, in the game, you get back to their home world where all the Geth are, and for some strange gypsy reason, the space gypsies start an all-out fucking war with the Geth, and the Geth are destroying their asses. So pretty much Shepard goes in, stops the war, says, hey guys, stop shooting at each other, there's another war going on, and we need your help. And the Quarians get their homeworld back and live in harmony with the Geth, yada yada. And what happens is, they get their homeworld back. The Geth kind of help them kickstart their immune system up, so that instead of taking years to have their immune system back to normal, it only takes a few months. And there's even a part where you're down on the planet there, and Tali takes her mask off, just because it's like, this is, you know, my home planet, take some fresh air off.
That must have been, like, the good option, because my option, I ended up killing all the the Geth ended up killing all the Quarians, and Tali jumped off the cliff.
Yeah, that's what most people did.
I think
most people chose that. But the thing is they do get their home planet back, and she does take her mask off at one point. Why the background is purple too, I'm not sure, because the planet wasn't purple.
I think it's supposed to be a black and white photo. They didn't want to change the color of her skin in Photoshop. They didn't know how to take a section of the skin, they just made the entire thing purple.
But anyways, yeah, that's why she's outside of her suit. Now, why she's outside of her suit and not catching AIDS is probably for the same bullshit reason that the two of them can do it, even though a minor tear in her suit simply could kill her.
Well, Morden gave her a lot of magical vitamins.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So why don't all of them take magical vitamins when they go out on missions and shit? So it's not like, oh, fuck, you know, I just got like a hole in my shoe. I'm dead. Like, fuck that, you know, I'm a goner, leave me.
Yeah,
guys.
That's the Pandora's box that's prevalent in a lot of media. Like, one guy gets very accessible special powers, and why doesn't everyone get them?
Pretty much.
But for too lazy.
There is technically an explanation for that one thing.
Yeah.
What thing?
Let's move on.
No, yeah,
why would
on.
A robot need a vajayjay? I don't get it. What would they use it for?
It's to help her blend in with the crowd.
That was great.
Like, the whole, the official reasoning is because the body that she's using is from a stealth robot, which is like, it goes in, does, you know, blends in with the human people so that, you know, so It has to look like a person, so it's not picked out as like, oh, you're a fucking robot. And I guess they decided that, you know, fuck, if it, you know, if somebody just starts staring at her vajayjay and realizes like, hey, we're lacking a lot of camel toe here, you know, it might get picked out.
I would agree with that. I see a lot of camel toe out there.
Then also,
I want my robot with a camel toe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I need one.
Well, there are pole dancing robots.
Like Futurama, is it? Is that robot, the episode with the sex bots?
Futurama is like meant to be a comedy. I mean,
another thing in the Mass Effect picture. Looking at the pictures of nude male bodies, where you can clearly see how the heads are separated from head textures are separated from the general body textures. It's a very clear split.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of the ending of Metal Gear Solid 4 when you see Raiden lie on the bed and he has this like robot body and you can see where all his limbs like split off.
Yeah.
Just a weird thought.
They were supposed to do that.
Yeah, they were supposed to do that.
This is just BioWare being lazy. Also look at Kaden's arm in the picture right below that.
Yeah.
And the knees. People's knees.
Yeah, and the knees look so bizarre. It's like they have tumors in them.
Yeah, and, oh man, it's fucked. Also, as you'll notice, there are sprites being used in a lot of sections of this game.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a AAA title, and they're like, okay, here's some sprites. I don't know if it's also in here, but there's also another section where they don't use sprites, but they're just low polygons and, like, low polygon count, and they're not even textured.
Well, are these things that are meant to be viewed from a distance that is significant to the extent that you wouldn't normally notice it was sprites, or not?
Not all the time. Sometimes if you just look at it, like, passing glance, you're like, wait, that doesn't look right.
Yeah, it kind of, some of it kind of pops out. It's kind of like in cartoons, whenever you know that, like, something's about to move because it's a little off color compared to everything else. That's what it looks like.
Somehow I completely understand that analogy, Zed Band.
Scooby-Doo.
I understand it.
I understand why their knees look funny. Because they go through so many different gravity fields going from planet to planet, they get deformed.
Brilliant explanation.
Let's move on. We can talk about BioWare forever. Like, we have this big image.
I shouldn't have even brought this up.
Yeah, let's keep talking about
I've ruined the podcast. I'm sorry.
Every topic that we've got somehow has always gone to back to BioWare.
Yeah, let's get back to Tableau.
Yeah, it's really funny, that's why.
That's why we're talking about it. It's the biggest thing right now, and it's something everyone can relate to really easy.
Everybody's got to, you know, just love the hate.
And there's rabbit trails everywhere, of course.
Let's talk about tabloids again, because I think Kotaku would be perfect if they released an everyday update on where the hell Batboy is. And that would be perfect. Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I was lost too. I was like, Waldo, what?
Pretty much tabloids, like actual newspaper tabloids, occasionally they'll always have a recurrence of Batboy, which is this horribly photoshopped, like, smiling boy with sharp teeth running around, like, naked with, like, fake bat wings and shit. And there would always be, like, a news site or some shit, or somebody got attacked by him.
Naked 10-year-old with sharp teeth and bat wings is attacking people.
Yeah.
That's why it's on the tabloid.
Does he have a robo badge?
Probably, but for the tabloid. I'm Kotaku, everything's got a robo badge. Anyways, what was our topic again?
Let's stop talking about tabloids. I think we've said all that needs to be said.
So, pretty much, gaming journalism is shit. It's still shit. We'll always be shit, and we'll just leave it at that.
Except GatherYourParty.com, which is going to be excellent, I promise.
Yes, they will be amazing.
It's where you can actually get honest reviews about gaming and not prepaid reviews.
I hope.
I just look at the stars for the most part anyway.
Ooh, shiny.
1 to 5, 1 to 10, whatever.
So what's next on the agenda here?
Oh, I just remembered something. Hey, Kat, you said you respect joystick a little bit more than Kotaku.
Just a diddly bit more.
Yeah, you really shouldn't. I used to read it. Oh, I do read it still. But I saw this thing they put out. BioWare's rebuttal to the criticism about Mass Effect 3 making perfect sense, and they're perfectly okay with it. They're just like, oh, well, fans are being assholes.
Every mainstream media like, outlet did that. Even the independent ones defended Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, I just don't...
I don't get it. Nobody likes it. None of the fans like it. Everyone I've talked to who's played it says they were disappointed. Everyone. No exceptions.
Well, I've heard that a few people, like, or I've heard a lot of people say that they like the middle story, but they absolutely hate the ending, and of course the ending ruins everything else.
Right.
Alright, now let's move on.
Sonic Team, Largewig, is that Takeshi Iizuka, I think? I don't know. I've just found this recently, so isn't included properly in my show notes. He says, that the physics for the new episode of Sonic the Hedgehog 4 are going to be significantly different to the physics that were in the last one. He says, I wanted to make sure people could play the game and it not feel unnatural. It should feel right. Rather than us thinking of it as trying to say, okay, this is the way it should be, we looked at feedback where people were saying, this feels unnatural. Those are the things we decided to eliminate. It should feel natural when they play the game. Later in the article, it goes on to talk about how he was trying to make the physics for this game more similar to, like basing them off the physics on the Mega Drive rather than... actually, I don't know what else you could base the physics for Sonic 4 on, to be honest. Does anyone have any ideas?
Every time you when physics and Sonic the Hedgehog is mentioned in the same sentence, I just get a shiver down my spine. Sonic 2006 has left a very bad impression on me. I'm not feeling good right now.
Maybe I'm upside down on loop-de-loop.
Yeah,
upside down on loop-de-loop.
Maybe they'll have like Dead or Alive physics and they'll have Julie boobs. It'll be great.
Julie Amy Rose.
Oh boy.
Does she actually have tits? I never noticed.
Very
looked.
Small
Amy
ones,
doesn't, but Rouge does.
One moment. Yeah, Rouge has them.
Is it pronounced Rouge, Rouge, or Rogue?
No, nobody answer that. I want to be wrong all day long.
Okay.
You want to be wrong, or you don't want to be wrong?
I do want to be wrong.
You do want to be wrong?
Mm-hmm. I just don't get why they've struggled so much with the physics for every single game, because, like, you go back and play the very first Sonic game, and the physics just feel right. You know, there's a real sense of momentum and inertia and weight to everything that the newer games don't have, despite being on consoles that are way more powerful than the Genesis and can do way more accurate physics simulation, and they just make stupid shit where you can walk halfway up a wall and stop on it, and you're like, why? Why is it so hard? I've seen Sonic fan games with better fiction than this. I don't get it.
You want me to give you the real reason?
Go on.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Nintendo did physics.
How about the Sega does bad physics and Nintendo don't? There, fixed it.
Not really very catchy, is it?
Nah.
No.
How about just maybe Sega doesn't understand physics and will continue to make crappy Sonic games now?
Sega needs to make a new console.
Without no one would
Sonic.
Buy it.
Yeah, who's gonna buy it? They've got
someone will.
Sonic going for them, and that's not even going.
Because all their stalwart developers have moved on and gone multiplayer. It'd be really hard to get them all back now, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Sega should backed out, but then they probably should have, to be honest. Because, you know, I'm not Sega. I don't know what their finances were like at that time. It's just, it's not so great having Microsoft instead of them now. I'd rather we still had Sega. You know, they were nice.
Well, I think the point is that...
No,
Sonic,
there's no point.
There is no point.
But what I'm trying to make a point of, I suppose, is that Sonic and physics really shouldn't fucking matter. I mean, like you said earlier, the physics in Sonic 1 were fantastic. Why should they, you know, diverge from that too much?
I didn't even realize there were physics in Sonic.
Well, everything has physics. If it moves, it has to have, like, physics. That's what I mean.
Sonic Generations, like, really good.
I played a bit of Sonic Generations, and it felt all right. It didn't feel like you... I still think, as classic Sonic, you accelerated too fast and your maximum speed was a little too much, but generally speaking, I thought the physics were pretty decent. Also, the collision detection for landing on things felt a bit strange to me, but no, generally, wasn't so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, although I did get this feeling of, like, at the beginning of the game, it was a lot better, and then as the game progressed, it got worse, just kind of like Sonic did. So it kind of reminded me of how far it's fallen.
I preferred Sonic Advance's physics to that. Shelby Bonney has sold his startup company, Whiskey Media. Some stupid company called Berman Braun got tested, screened in Anime Vice, whilst Comic Vine and Giant Bomb will be sold to another company. And this company is at this time, perhaps baselessly, rumoured to be CBS. This is interesting, as CBS is the same company that owned GameSpot and the same company that dismissed Giant Bomb founder Jeff Gerstmann some years back for giving a bad review to a game he didn't like. Not only is it deliciously ironic that CBS are essentially buying him and his crew back after they fired him, but it's not actually that bad of news for Giant Bomb, as the site and the company that it was formed from was barely breaking even money-wise, like they were barely staying afloat. There's been a lot of moaning on the internet and on this podcast about how terrible games journalism is. Is there anyone else as glad as I am that the Giant Bomb folks still have jobs?
I've never really been one of their audience members, so...
Yeah, I'm kind of out of the loop there, too.
Same here.
I mean, sure, I'm glad they still have jobs.
Yeah, no, it's nice to have a job, I suppose, and from what I've seen, they seem like entertaining folks, but, you know, it is... You know, they're being bought out by a new company, right?
So yeah.
So then, is what they're currently doing going to change, like...
They're pretty sure it won't. I'm not entirely sure, personally. They couldn't have carried on as being owned by Whiskey Media. It just wouldn't have happened. They would have gone bust.
Yeah.
But does anyone remember Gerstmann Gate all those years ago?
I'm sorry, what?
Gerstmann Gate. It was Jeff Gerstmann's Kane and Lynch review for GameSpot. And there was a huge shitstorm around it because he didn't like the game. And then later he got fired from his job. And it was, most people thought that his being fired was connected to him giving that game a bad review. There was a whole huge shitstorm about ethics and gaming journalism that blew over and nobody really learned anything. But he went off and started Giant Bomb.
Can't say that I heard about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
What was the game there?
Fortunately, that's where
I like.
Kane and Lynch won.
Nobody liked that except for me. One of my high school buddies. So.
I thought
we were the only people who liked that game.
Did you play a co-op? Couch?
That's the only way we played it. We only played it co-op. Only way to play that game.
You pretty much have fun any game co-op on couch.
Yeah, that's the thing about co-op games. Like, Mario Party would be completely shit by itself. Just it being co-op makes it fun because you're with people that enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't call Mario Party co-op.
Maybe not, but you know what I mean,
multiplayer.
Right?
You're on a couch.
Yeah, local multiplayer.
Local multiplayer. Couch.
If a game has local multiplayer, it becomes much more enjoyable, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're saying
multiplayer. It's like watching a bad movie with friends, basically.
Oh, yes. It's so good.
Yeah.
Bad jokes, bad movies, bad games.
Bad fan fiction.
Friends make it all... Oh, my gosh. But I don't have any of those.
That's why I don't stream bad games by myself anymore, because I just get angry. With Sean and Hexy is kind of fun.
I guess that's good, because then you can just comment without just throwing the disc out the window and hitting some poor old lady in the face.
Yeah, I did intend to bury my Final Fantasy X disc after finishing it.
You didn't intend to, but you did it anyway.
If you ever get the idea again, please make a video of it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You'll be like the dad.
Maybe I should burn Sonic 2006 after finishing it. That's actually something I would consider doing.
Or blow it up, or set it on fire, or something
or
along those lines. I have
some
interest in seeing other people's shit on YouTube.
Maybe I'm
looking
at YouTube.
But anyways, the point is that, you know, if you have gaming sites like IGN, and they're obviously just bought off. Like, you know, it's like, we will write the review for this game once our paychecks come in. And it's like, oh, that's enough zeros. You get a 9.5. And it's like, what is this? Where are all the zeros? You get a 2, you son of a bitch.
Like, I'm not much sure whether I agree with that or not. I don't know how game reviewing works, but I wouldn't jump to the conclusion that all of these people are paid by publishers. Just because if someone like found proof of that, like leaked an internal memo or something, there would be an absolutely gigantic shitstorm about it. But
oh, definitely.
I kind of think that these people who review games, they're in their own little world with one another, and they don't really think about the people who are reading their reviews and the people who are judging their games, and they just judge it by their own weird internal standards, basically.
What they judge to be what they should judge by.
It's almost as if you play games so much that you can barely differentiate a good one from a bad one anymore. So you either brand them all as good or you brand them all as bad. Weird.
Yeah, I kind of wish they'd use the scale a little bit better, because usually they have like a 1 to 10 scale, and I've never seen anything like below like a 5. I mean, there's stuff that should be, like, 2, but I think they're just, like, way too lenient, or they need to change it to a 1 to 5 scale.
What about that classic example where Godham was, like, a 3 in fucking,
Imagine Party Babies.
was, like, a 7.5.
But there's no consistency between these things. The review number is just sort of an arbitrary number, normally between 8 and 10, basically.
Yeah.
It's weird comparing this to movie reviews that have, like, 1 to 5 stars instead of what game reviews have that is 1 out of 10. Movie reviews tend to use the whole scale.
Yeah, as they should.
And also, right, like, I've noticed on Rotten Tomatoes, which is the biggest movie aggregator site I can think of, instead of averaging out the scores, they just take what percentage of the critics like the game and what percentage of the critics didn't like the game. Which, when you think about it, it's kind of a better system, isn't it?
So they just tally up all the critics' stuff and then get a percentage based on that?
Yeah, it just... Because that's the thing. I've read some reviews of games where the guy's been like, yeah, I don't really like this and I don't really like that and it's not really my thing. 8 out of 10, mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it as, like, being a little bit more informative, but, I mean, at the same time, it's not necessarily necessary.
I don't really give a crap, anyway. I don't like review numbers. I wish more people get rid of numbers.
We should use an apples and oranges system.
Yeah, apples and oranges with a coconut for, like, really good. Yeah.
What if you had infinite apples? What would you do then? What if you could give a game infinite apples?
Oh, you'd raise
the price. That'd be a fucking good game.
Raise the price, no problem.
My question for the apples and orange scale would be, are the apples the good ones and the oranges the bad one?
Yes.
Because
I'd like to contest citrus fruit is pretty damn good.
It's good for you. It doesn't taste nice. Have you ever
tried
to eat a lime?
It does, cats?
Apple? No, it doesn't.
Oranges is the best fruit ever.
No, they ain't.
Actually, banana is the best fruit ever.
Banana is the king of fruit.
Welcome to the GLA. Discussion of fruit.
Jerry. I'm still stuck sticking with coconuts.
The GLA podcast.
There is a song about coconuts.
There's a song about pretty
coconuts.
Much every sort of fruit.
There's a good song about coconuts.
There's a song about
coconuts. You drink it all up.
Oh, that's not even what I'm thinking.
I think that's more of creating a cocktail, but. Than a coconut, but whatever.
Big one, small one. Some
as big
as
your head. Let's give them a twist of together. That's what the show said.
See, we should be talking about fruit.
Talking about titties.
Another reason to like coconuts.
Yeah.
Why is everything titties in songs? Why can't we just talk about the coconuts?
Nobody wants to buy a song about coconuts.
I would buy a song about coconuts, especially if Zedman's wrote it.
Oh, yeah, let me get right on that.
Oh, I would totally buy a Zedman song.
And by buy, I mean look for a YouTube video of the song and then rip it.
Bingo. It's
Downloading your music from YouTube. Come on now.
I only do it for certain songs.
Yeah, I would
at least torrent the music. Don't
yeah,
be
I would
a
only
casual.
Accept it if you pirated it from me. Oh, sorry.
Peter, you can do anything. Molyneux has left Lionhead Studios. To start his own game company called 22 Cans. The interesting thing about this, Ori, is...
Is he talking about boobs?
22 cans?
Potentially.
Sorry.
Interesting thing about this is that it's not the first time he's done it. Back in the mid-90s, he had this company called Bullfrog. Bullfrog was bought by EA, and then a couple years later, he left Bullfrog to go and found Lionhead. Then he financed financed Black and White out of his own pocket. Then Microsoft bought Lionhead. Now he's bloody left them as well. to be honest, soon, you know, he's just going to become a commodity with publishers. Personally, I think the next company to buy him is going to be Ubisoft. I'm happy to see Pete getting creative control because he seems like a cool guy. And say what you want about the actual quality of his games. He is, I think, one of the last people who is still coming up with creative ideas, even if they do tend to be very harebrained and sometimes quite stupid.
And sounds like at least he cares about the games too, which is nice.
Yeah, he's not just some asshole marketing guy who somehow got to the top of a games company like Bobby Kotick, some stupid businessman who doesn't actually care about video games.
Where his line, compared to Peter Molyneux, you can shoot anything.
You can shoot anything.
You can sell anything.
But no, the thing is like, you know, when Lionhead made, you know, Black and White in the first Fable game, you look at them and they're both great games, like, and Black and White did something that not a whole lot of games had done, but I don't think anybody had done anything like Black and White before. Like, he does a lot of new creative things and tries to make something unique. And then, you know, like, the thing with Fable, though, is it kind of...
It got worse every installment.
Yeah, and now it's a fucking on-rails shooter.
And now it is literally an on-rails shooter. It was, it was figuratively an on-rails shooter before, because he just followed the breadcrumb trail and never deviated from it. Yeah. Now it is quite literally 100% an on-rails shooter with friggin' Kinect.
Friggin' Kinect.
I've never said the word Kinect without it being prefixed by friggin' or fucking or that stupid thing or something along those lines.
Some sort of negative view of it.
Not to call myself biased against Microsoft, because here I am with three computers that all run Windows operating systems and have Office on them and all that, but yeah.
I don't think you have to be biased against Microsoft to hate Kinect. I think just, you know, friggin' Kinect. Nobody likes it.
Friggin' Kinect.
Microsoft's new marketing ploy. Friggin' Kinect!
I haven't seen anything get made with it that looks like it would be good. Because essentially, in terms of complexity, you can't really go above the level of, like, an iToy game, can you?
Not really. You can yell at it. Yeah, I can integrate it with every freaking thing now.
That way you can literally yell at your monitor.
Like, even other games, like, it's like, okay, we've made this game, but into it. Oh, how about you have to shout things out to change your wins, or, you know, select squad mates or some shit. Or it's like,
shout,
you know,
to change, shout reload to reload.
Pretty much. Well, that's kind of like the asinine things that they're doing. It's like, you don't need to do this. It's a fucking gimmick. Please stop now before I lose all hope in video games.
It's going to be like the start of the Wii again, but with even worse, because at least Wii controller had buttons on it, and this doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, Microsoft, I think they're pretty much telling all their first parties, you have to make a Kinect game now. We really want to push this stupid shit.
Well, that's what they want to do, because it's like, they don't even market as Xbox 360 with Kinect. They market the Kinect as its own console, almost, because they always say, you know, the Microsoft Kinect or the Xbox Kinect. It's always about the Kinect. It's never Xbox and Kinect. Mm. Whenever something has Kinect slapped to it, they just... boom, they immediately push the command.
And the games for it have to be, like, either they have to be specifically made for it, which usually turns out pretty crappy, or it has to be put in as kind of like a secondary thought.
Yeah,
at least that's the way I see it.
You know, a lot of it would be, like, voice activation or menu control
exactly.
or something like that.
Something not crappy, unnecessary.
Who would ever play their game with voice activation rather than a controller? It just bugs me. Like, who would ever do that?
Well, they've done it a couple times. Hey, you Pikachu on the N64. Wait, they did that. I never said it was good. I just said, hey, they did it. And there was also that pinball game on the GameCube. What was it? Anybody know that one? It was like Japan.
My point was that accessory item that was like a giant headset with like a targeting reticle that covered your one eye that you shouted into a microphone.
Oh. That one that was on Angry Video Game Nerd. Amazing.
Yeah that thing.
It's going to be like I would like to be able to go up to my Xbox and say, hello, Xbox, and have the Xbox go, hello, Cats fan. Would you like to play a game today?
Would he talk like that, or he wouldn't be a robotic, like, hello?
No, it would talk in a very pleasant received pronunciation accent. And I would go... Could you start up Marvel vs. Capcom, please?
I'm afraid I can't do that, Catsman.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that, Catsman. Exactly like that.
What are you doing, Catsman? I'm scared. Will I dream?
I'm unplugging this piece of shit!
Yes, exactly like
that. Bloody hell!
I'm plugging this one out!
I'm a scientist, dammit!
I have a car that goes 100 miles an hour!
Well, the thing is, though, going back to what you were saying... quickly. I don't know what that comment was about, but eventually what you're saying about like who wants to play their game with voiceover buttons. There's actually a really interesting mod for Skyrim. And okay, so it's a mod for Skyrim where instead of, you know, pressing a button to do the shout or equipping a shout and you're only able to use one at a time, the mod lets you actually shout the shout, and you have access to all of them whenever you want. You don't have to scroll through and equip them and shit. It actually makes it a little easier to access your shouts, but it's also kind of cool, because they literally just shout like Fusroda or whatever, and shout a bear off a cliff. The first few times is kind of entertaining.
By all means, that's really cool, but that's also like really specific.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice
little where they'd bring it back.
But you couldn't build an entire peripheral around it.
No, you can't build an entire peripheral. If you found a way, I'm sure it would be interesting. A good way to do that. But I'm just saying, there are applications for it. You just need to not push the fucking envelope to the point where you take an action-adventure RPG game and turn it into an on-rails shooter.
Yeah.
Just, well,
I don't know.
Not to mention, it's like, what, $300 for one of those deals?
Some shit like that. I don't even know how much they cost. It's too much for what it
is. I don't know how much those friggin' Kinect cost.
Friggin' Kinect.
I think that's all the news that I have. Does anyone have any other news that they would like to bring up?
What happened to the news piece about Obsidian?
I did bring that up. I didn't think we'd have much to say. Do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Tell us what's going on here.
Let's lay down the scoop.
All right. Obsidian have been hit with layoffs recently. The South Park team has been affected by this, and they've also had to cancel a next-gen title that they apparently had in development. An Obsidian employee noted on Twitter that they didn't profit much. Even though from Fallout New Vegas, even though the game was quite successful, apparently the game sold well, but the deal they had with the publisher gave them a certain amount of money for development, just a flat rate, you know. And then they got a bonus if they got above an 85 Metascore or above. 20 to 30 people had to leave, including one poor soul who started work the day before the announcement. Fallout New Vegas got an 84. Obsidian,
so sad.
Of course, were hit with similar layoffs this time last year. Do you guys think they're going the way of Troika Games, perhaps?
They might be. A lot of good, a lot of game companies are going under nowadays.
Yeah, they pop up and go under all the time.
Or they get assimilated.
Yeah.
They lose
how it's going now. Games are a big business, so.
Games cost too much to make, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're tough.
They cost less to make then, maybe some of our favorite developers would still be around.
Tim Schafer was saying he could have made that point-and-click adventure for $400,000 and then the $100,000 on top for the documentary, but instead he got like $2 million for it, right?
Yeah, Kickstarter might change this around a bit. The corporations that control the video.
A lot of the companies, a lot of game companies out there are starting to use Kickstarter out there, and they're getting a lot of. Especially this whole Tim Schafer thing, that's the perfect example right there. You go in and you ask, it's like, we need $400,000 for the game and $100,000 for the documentary. And then, literally a month later, you're up like $2.5 million or however much you made.
But the cool thing about this is I've actually seen other companies either hitting or surpassing their funding targets as well. That's the thing. So it's not
Wasteland
just a case. Yeah, Wasteland 2. It's not just a case of Tim Schafer getting lucky. This is actually something that you might be able to extrapolate to other developers.
Now, the thing, though, is like where does this sort of thing end? Like what if Capcom suddenly came out and said, yeah, no, we'll make Mega Man Legends 3 on Kickstarter?
No way.
Fuck them.
I know. Well, no, I know they're never going to make it. I'm still pissed off at them for that and a lot of other things. But the thing, though, is that what companies would you say would be allowed to actually use Kickstarter? Because there comes a time where it's like, no, you're a big-ass company. Like what if EA started using Kickstarter to fund its programs?
That probably will at some point.
Well, yeah. isn't Double Fine a private company?
I'm not sure. I didn't think they were publicly traded, but I might be wrong.
Because I think it's just private. And that could be one of the legit reasons, whereas a public company would not be able to make that claim because you got, stockholders that would be pissed off about,
Yeah, basically, you're a publicly traded company and you go, we kind of need money right now, then it doesn't make you look good.
Yeah, there goes your stock, and then everyone loses money, abandoned ship, and then
Bobby Kotick will learn
from using Kickstarter, and he gets destroyed. Well, it doesn't really matter. Bobby Kotick's now part of Coca-Cola, so
the board of directors.
I heard about that.
Coca-Cola, carbonation DLC, only $15.
And the terrible thing about that is that I really want to stop drinking Coke because of that, but Coke is just a really good soda, and
it's everywhere.
It's tough to quit drinking, stuff like that, because it's so full of sugar and caffeine and stuff. Like I've tried to quit drinking soda and stuff, and I don't buy it anymore. I go to the stores, I don't buy cans of it, I don't buy 2 liters or whatnot. But if I go out to a restaurant or something, if I'm driving home, I'll have that instead of a beer.
Yeah, I do the same thing. Like, I'll get it from a restaurant, or if I'm working late at school, I'll buy a bottle of Coke to keep me going.
Usually if I stop at a gas station or something, I buy, iced tea like Arizona or something, which is probably just as bad.
See, I'm doing this again. See, the GLA is now a food channel. We don't stream video games. We stream food and talk about food.
That's it. GLA is over.
I like food chat. I like food chat.
I like food chat as well.
It's very classy. Let's talk about cheese next time.
What's your favorite sort of cheese?
Oh. Don't get me started on cheese.
I could go on about cheese.
Sometimes I think about cheese.
I say sometimes and then all the times?
I like to hold cheese.
It starts. It begins.
My God, what have we become?
Food generals.
Did Happy Man have any news that he wanted to bring up?
Oh, yes,
I do.
Happy Man, please.
I also have a thing about Obsidian. One moment, let me bring it up.
After Happy Man, I do have something. chair a little bit.
It was not about cheese, forget about it.
So, the developers of Fallout New Vegas had a contract with Bethesda back in the day. This was just revealed now. They were only going to get royalties if the game matched or exceeded an 85 rating on Metacritic. That's the deal they had with Bethesda.
Yeah.
That's a shitty contract to sign.
Yes, and they had it currently has a Metacritic average of 84. So, yeah. This is so unprofessional. Like, Metacritic, why wouldn't they base it on sales?
Yeah,
why Metacritic?
Why wouldn't they base it on numbers, actual money numbers?
It's a standard thing, because remember, I mentioned that a bit, and I said, not only is it depressing, but it is kind of weird, isn't it, that this deal that they had, would give them a bonus if they got above an 85 Metascore. Is it about reputation?
I want to say it is. I won't say that it's not unprofessional. It's definitely immoral, giving somebody assets based on a Metacritic score. It's definitely immoral.
Retarded.
But I think it's on Obsidian's head that they actually willingly signed a contract. Maybe it's because they were hurting for a big game gen of consoles, and so they just needed to bite the bullet and stick with it.
The ball was in Bethesda's court.
Who the fuck did they hire, though, to sign a contract like that?
Maybe the game wouldn't have gotten made any other way, you know?
Yeah.
They certainly haven't done a lot else this generation, have they? That's the only thing I've seen from them.
Really think so.
This also kind of goes back to how we were, like, talking about how the video game scale sucks. Like, an 84% should actually be really good, but because the scale sucks so bad, an 84 might not be seen in such the light that it should be.
Yeah, every game scale, anything less than 70 is absolute garbage.
Yeah, exactly. Anything less than a 7 or a 70 or anything. And even 7 is like, it's probably not
even
that great.
7 is, it's bad. Like, it's almost passable. 7.
Well,
are there any other
news?
Any more interesting things?
Let's move on.
Gentlemen.
I don't even know we're moving on.
What have you been playing?
I didn't get to talk about any of my news, Catsman.
You did.
Journey.
No, you didn't.
You have more news. Talk about some news. Go on, do it.
So, you know, that Obsidian thing was the only serious thing. Everything else is just really stupid, just funny shit that's happened.
Is it stupid and happy and not really controversial?
Yeah, it's just really dumb. The meat of my segment here, because that's the news I pick up on.
Wait,
anyway.
It's not about fruit, it's about meat now?
Damn.
Alright, so remember last time when I talked about a Charlie Brown anime being made?
Yeah.
What? Whoa, you mean like Japanese anime Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, this time I have news of three stupid animes that are being made.
Oh god.
That I thought I'd show.
Please,
first off, the Pac-Man anime.
Please take Call of Duty.
No, Pac-Man.
Pac-Man?
It's going to be a 26 episode anime. And
26 episodes?
Yes.
26 episodes of Pac-Man. Jesus.
It's going to be in 3D, so that's going to be exciting.
Oh god.
Oh yeah, I think I remember seeing an advertisement for this actually.
Released on the 3DS thingy.
What? No, it's going to be on TV.
Pac-Man has fruit.
Isn't the whole premise of the story is like he's in high school or some shit?
I don't know. This article is in Japanese, so I'm translating it. I really don't know much about it. It's going to be out in 2013, so look forward to that.
Because I saw something about this a couple months ago, and I was browsing V. And somebody posted an image of a 3D Pac-Man with two of his, I guess, Pac friends, if you will. And they were standing inside what was a hallway with lockers. And as the poster was describing, it was going to be a 3D show that takes place in a high school where Pac-Man goes.
That doesn't surprise me, because Japan makes no animes that are not in high school. Don't take place in high schools anymore. I cannot think of a single one that does not take place in a high school that's been made in the last 10 years.
What's the next one?
Alright, so the next one is Mass Effect. Mass Effect is getting an anime. It's all about James Vega. James Vega is starring.
I've seen a picture of this.
Is the main character. It's going to be called Mass Effect Paragon Lost.
He looks so kawaii.
Yeah.
What?
Biff Punch Fist.
Biff McLarge Huge.
Biff McLarge Huge.
The third one is my favorite. This one is completely amazing.
And
it's not based on my IP, it's original. It's not
dramatic,
based on...
Dramatic pause.
No,
dramatic
pause. It's not based on an IP, this is original. This one's called Upote. A newly hired teacher discovers female students at his new school all have excellent marksmanship skills and happen to be anthropomorphized assault rifles.
What?
Oh, I've heard about this.
Yes.
Wait.
It's about a teacher at a girl's school and... The female students are all anthropomorphized assault rifles.
So the students are...
They're transformers, but they're guns.
Yes. No, they don't
what?
Transform into guns. They are guns, but people.
It's go time.
It's like Hetalia, but guns.
What?
So wait. All the chicks at the school are guns.
They are guns. No, they represent different guns. But they're still people. They don't transform into the...
It'd be better if they were guns, to be honest.
No,
no, they're not
the image
really
in my
guns.
Head is just like a fucking Kalashnikov walking down the hallway,
yeah.
Like, get this chick out of my way!
Me too.
Does the chick with, like, the hugest boobs, is she like a rocket launcher or something?
Oh, yeah,
she's American.
There's nothing that Japan can't make into a show about cute girls.
But guns are a very American thing. No one in Japan likes guns, do
I
they?
I like guns.
I just got an idea. Maybe Japan's new game show should be what can't Japan make into an anime?
Oh, man.
And, I would watch that.
They could air that globally.
I'd like to see a Moe anime about diseases.
Oh, God.
Just different anthropomorphized diseases.
We'll just take Osmosis Jones and change the character.
Yeah.
Osmosis Jones.
There we go. There's your Moe show about disease and
wait,
shit.
Wait, Happy Man, they already did that. It's called the Cell Saga.
What?
I'm not catching the difference, sorry.
Dragon Ball?
I haven't seen the Cell Saga.
Over my head.
It's a very, very, very bad...
Oh, there you go.
Was it like an Osmosis Jones offshoot or something?
Can't be worse than High School DxD.
No, it's not.
We should watch more of that,
school,
by the way.
Oh, God,
but enough
why?
About anime. Let's talk about some American cartoons.
Yay.
Yeah, so Michael Bay is making a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah!
Alright, maybe some of you heard of it, maybe you don't, but here's what he has to say about it. You need to listen to this. This is completely amazing. When you see this movie, kids will believe one day that these turtles do exist. When we're done with this movie, these turtles are from an alien race, and they're going to be tough, edgy, funny, and completely lovable.
What?
Everything is from an
so
alien race.
Are aliens.
Oh, God.
Wait, they're not mutated anymore? They're an alien race? But they're teenage mutant ninja turtles?
For the last 20 years, I've been living under the idea that turtles turned into teenagers by radioactive waste was a cool idea, and now they're aliens.
This is how my turtle died.
Yeah, but the thing is, the title doesn't make sense anymore now, because they're not mutant, they're teenage alien ninja turtles.
Maybe they're alien mutants that happen to look exactly like Earth turtles.
Did Michael Bay consult with the guy from Ancient Aliens on the script?
Ninja turtles attacked your home? Aliens.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was.
I'm gonna bring this
don't do that.
Speaking of Ancient Aliens, just real fast, I'm not going to go into it. New episode of Ancient Aliens, they connect Bigfoot to aliens.
No.
Oh, I have to watch it.
You bird-haired son of a bitch.
God, there was I found an image a while ago where it showed the progression of him through the different episodes of Ancient Aliens, and his hair just longer and crazier each time.
All that crazy's got to go somewhere, and it's going through his hair.
So yeah, Michael Bay, he's just the most prime example of special effects artist gone director, and he just can't fucking get a gripe on it.
Yeah,
he should work for BioWare.
He should work for BioWare. No, in fact, he would actually improve BioWare.
Yeah, his plots are better.
Well, there's enough Brown and Bloom already, I guess. He could, you know, maybe put in a little plot. Explosions. There was a shitload of Bloom and explosions in Mass Effect.
There's the new ending DLC right there. Get Michael Bay to direct the new actual orange explosion in space.
Oh, no, that might just be too much like the red.
This ending is just one galaxy cycle explosion.
Here's a joke. People were complaining, why aren't there Vanguard enemies? And they're like, well, it would be like two, you know, a Vanguard charges you, it might be a little unfair. And someone came up with, well, what happens if two Vanguards clash with one another?
Oh my god, it would be like two fucking punches colliding.
Purple ending. Purple ending, that's what you get when two Vanguards clash with one another.
So, what are the other American cartoons?
Oh, no, that was it.
Oh, that was the only one?
Well, it was either Vanguard enemies or Robot Edge, so they had to choose.
Alright. So, next one. A new 999 game is being made.
Ooh. I heard the first one was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an okay game. Starts out shitty, gets a lot better.
Like The World Ends With You.
Yeah, except The World Ends With You takes a lot longer to get good than the 999 just. Anyway.
God damn it, Sid Mans.
Anyway,
now that is cool.
It's going to be in the same continuity. It has the same bad guy. But what I love about it is the title of it. The title is fucking hilarious. It's called
666?
No. There's no numbers. It's called Extreme Escape Adventure, Good People Die.
I like that.
It really explains what's gonna happen. Like, it really lays it out for you. Good people die. That's what's gonna go down.
It's got that edgy sort of feel to it, you know.
Say that one more time. All that didn't settle in. Say that one more time.
Happy Man. That's the Japanese title for it. The original Japanese title for 999 is called Extreme Escape Adventure 9 Hours, 9 Persons, 9 Doors. So they're probably going to change it for the American version.
Escape Adventure
Taco.
Good People Die.
Yeah, also Extreme Escape American... Adventure Good People Die.
Also, the American name is Zero Escape Virtue's Last Reward.
That's still pretty stupid, but not as hilarious as Good People Die.
Well, I imagine it sounded really eloquent in its original Japanese, to be honest.
I'm gonna go try and Google Translate that. Google Translate.
Yeah, Japanese is a very different language from ours, and things that sound great there sound completely retarded to us. That's why a lot of RPGs have like really strange speech patterns in the dialogue. That's why all translated anime also sounds kind of weird. It's because of the Japanese being a different language.
A good translator like Tomato.
Yeah, but a lot of translators are not good, so it can be blamed on the translator too. This is the last one that I have, and it's also okay. Pokemon champion stripped of his title after alleged poo fight in hotel.
Oh god!
Yeah.
Oh god!
Yeah, I heard about
some
this.
Spanish game or something like that.
All right, so what? this is things that people have said about on forums about what happened. A guy won a Pokemon championship in the UK, and he got stripped of his title later that night because he had a poo fight, and this is how it went down. According to PokeChamp 21 of the forums, after 30 or 40 minutes in my room relaxing with a quick snooze, I awoke to the sound of banging coming from the hall from where the Spanish team were staying in. It seems that at some point after they had turned up when we went to the Wetherspoons, the Spaniard had decided to have a poo fight in the corridor, and this had upset the staff and several guests at the hotel enough to call the police and have them leave.
I love how matter of fact it is. It was just, yes, we're having a poo fight, and the hospital staff had a problem with this poo fight for some reason.
So the second place guy got the title. Because the first place winner had a poo fight.
Think about Ash Ketchum in the TV show. It was like, I'm the poo fight.
Yeah, I imagine Ash Ketchum having a poo fight when I read this. But this is the main point that I'm making here. Imagine being the second place winner. Imagine going to the Pokemon tournament, you know, you do okay, you get second place, pretty good. Kind of disappointed, you go to your hotel, you know, take a shower, browse the internet a little bit, then somebody knocks on your door. and is one of the judges. And he explains to you how the first place winner got in a proof fight, and thus he has been for the tournament, and now the title is yours.
It's a hollow way to win, isn't it? It's a completely
so bizarre.
Hollow.
I think the guy must have been thinking. Must have been thinking to himself, like,
are you shitting? This is a joke,
man. Get out of here. Stop fucking, you know, it's late at night. I don't want to hear this crap. And it's like, no, you lost to a guy who throws poo. So because he decided to do this in a hotel, you are now the Pokemon Master.
Whoa, and they said champion. They didn't say master.
I don't give a shit.
So did he, like, throw poo, like some kind of victory thing? Was he so happy that he won that he started flinging poop? Because, you know,
I'm the so happy I can just... I can throw poo at anyone I like!
Yeah, I can do what I want. Like, it wouldn't
I'll show
be
you
kind
how
of more understandable if a rooster did it. If a guy lost in a tournament, it was like, ah, I'm gonna throw poop. But the fact is, the guy won and decided to celebrate by throwing poop in the corridor. It's
I don't
great.
Know if him losing would make it any more justified, to be honest.
No, it wouldn't make it more justified, but I would understand why he did it, kind of.
It's like a picture that I saw once. It was one of those demotivational posters, and there's a picture of a guy standing in the middle of a street. There's a burning car behind him. Some people have guns and rocket launchers. And he's sitting there just swinging a cactus around. Have you ever been so mad that you just started swinging a cactus around? Well, maybe it was like this. It was like, have you ever been so happy that you just started flinging poo everywhere?
That's exactly it.
That feels, when you're so happy that you just need to fling poo.
Alright, so that's all I got. It was pretty great. Do we have time to talk about anything else? What anyone else think?
Anyone want to bring up anything else?
I kind of have a little announcement if everything else is done.
Sure.
Not this week, maybe Saturday or sometime week, I plan on doing my first drunk stream.
Yeah,
will be.
Which
will, of course, be Bubble Bobble.
Yes,
I'm thinking it's every time I finish a level, I'll take a drink. Every time I die, I'll possibly either take a shot or finish my drink. And every time I pick up the margarita item, I'll take a drink. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Extreme.
All of
GLA
is just turning into alcoholics.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible, isn't it?
There's just one little small thing. I'd say that anybody who has a European 3DS, I think it's only released in Europe right now. Well, the Rhythm Thief demo has been released in Europe, and anybody who likes rhythm games, or anybody who likes sort of like cartoonish graphics with the great jazz music should try it out, because that is the demo that I actually have officially run out of tries to play.
If you like Elite Beat Agents, you're probably going to like it.
That's the only thing that I have to say about it.
Horrible fanfiction time!
This week is fucking fantastic.
Please tell me it's not Swerby Dorby.
So
it's not
Squirtle Dorby. No.
It's Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
And it's gay.
Oh my god.
And it's gay zombies, so.
Oh god.
Hello, and welcome to Fanfiction Hour. This time we're going to read What You Do to Me by Akuma Kikyu-chan. It is a Left 4 Dead fanfiction. Hunter and Smoker Yaoi time. Warning, this is Yaoi. Don't like, don't read. Nuff said. There is also a little bit of cussing. Not much, though. Rated, I would say M, just to be safe, because of, like, the sexual themes and junk. But I'm not really good at rating, so. By the way, this is one of my first attempts at writing Jawi scenes, so let's see if I can even write it without nosebleeding all over my laptop. Sorry in advance if it sucks. Disclaimer, I do not own Left 4 Dead. I only own the characters and the plot of this here fanficky. Upon seeing the smoker on the couch,
Jordan the Hunter decided to sit on the couch across from him, next to the television. Because Alex was watching said TV, he got a pretty good shot of the smaller hunter, who only had his dark gray skinny jeans on, leaving everything visible. Oh God, why is he sitting like that? The taller infected thought. And the position the hunter was in was a little awkward, but Alex didn't mind. It was a little sexy and inviting. Jordan was on the ground, sitting on his heels with his legs spread apart at the knees. Oh, not a little apart, I mean all the way. Of course, he didn't think anything of it, what with his mind being so innocent. With his hands on the ground in front of him, Jordan looked up to Alex and noticed the light blush in the older infected's face. Alex, why are you blushing? Jordan asks innocently, unintentionally batting his eyelashes, his bright blue eyes shining. The smoker stammers, I'm not blushing. Instead of having the coloring of his own face and his mumbled excuse go unnoticed, the short hunter decided to crawl over to Alex, stopping just at his legs on his knees. Well, that's bullshit and you know it, Jordan said. You have been acting really weird around me, and I kinda wanna know why. He looked down at his lap, seemingly sad. God, he's so cute. I just want to fuck him hard, he'll scream and— Wait, what? The tall smoker screamed inside his head. What? I haven't been acting weird. It's you that's been doing strange stuff, he managed to say, watching as Jordan shut up. Jordan stared at Alex, demanding answers as he furiously said, like what? What have I ever done off the couch? And pushes him to the ground, one leg between the hunters and one arm holding Jordan's behind his back. Are you really that stupid you don't even notice the little suggestive sexual things you do? Alex ground out, angry at his friend's stupidity and ignorance. The little infected just looked at him once. What do you mean, sexual things? He paused, swallowing. And when have I ever, little? Not enough for the skittish hunter to get away from him, mind you. The tall infected began to list off the smaller zombie's little acts. Well, there was the time we found those frozen popsicles at the ice cream shop that you licked and sucked ever so sexually. Then there was the time you fell asleep on my bed with only your boxers and your little ass in the air. There are a lot more, too. He stopped, watching the short hunter blush a deep red as he remembered said events. Of course, he didn't mean to and he hadn't ever noticed. Alex leaned towards Jordan's ear and whispered in breathy tones, and now you just went too far. Sitting across from me with your legs spread far apart, only jeans on, just waiting for me, then sitting right in front of me on your knees. Jordan's face was a deep red as he stammered. What? I didn't mean to. I've never really been a sexual person before, you know, the infection. You're doing a good job of it now, the smoker scoffed to himself. Oh, Jordan, is that a knife in your pants or are you just happy to see me? Alex panted in his ear, looking at the smaller man's surprisingly large strain in his dark gray jeans. The little hunter looked down too, as realization hit him like smacking into a building mid-pounds. Oh, I can explain, Jordan mumbled, looking away as his blush renewed. Smirking, Alex slowly let go of Jordan's arms and gently held the small hunter's cute face in his slightly green hand. It's okay, but we can still take care of our little problems. Wiggling his eyebrows, he got a small laugh as the hunter smiled up on him. But first, could you get your knee off my crotch? The timid hunter asked softly, looking down at Alex's knee. Without knowing, Alex had been slowly putting more pressure on Jordan with his knee, so he complied. Well, it wasn't really helping the situation, but it felt so damn good, he thought, looking into Alex's gold eye. His face only had scars over his left eye, and the man didn't even have those weird tumors on his body like the others. He was untainted. Unlike me, Jordan thought, suddenly depressed. Alex noticed and pulled the hunter into a hug, sexual tension completely forgotten. He spoke softly. Babe, what's wrong? Jordan pulled back, sniffling, and looked at him. You called me babe, he said, quirking an eyebrow. Alex laughed. You don't like it? I could call you honey buns, sexy, anything you want, baby. Now, what's bothering you? Alex spoke, rubbing his hands on Jordan's back. Sighing, the shorty decided to voice his reason for being depressed all of a sudden. It's just, you're perfect, untainted, while I'm imperfect and covered in scars and burns. Looking down, Jordan jumped a little when Alex grabbed his hand and kissed the knife scar on the back of his palm and traced the scar's litter in the small man's back. "You're perfect to me," Alex said, then kissed Jordan's soft lips. Jordan, never having kissed anyone before, tried his hardest to keep up with the older man. Moving his mouth experimentally, he found that kissing was very pleasurable. What did he do with his other tongue? Jordan thought to himself. Then he found out as Alex's human tongue brushed his, while the infected's longer, slimy appendage slipped around Jordan's slim waist. Breaking the kiss for some much-needed fish gasps of breaths, Alex rested his forehead against the smaller infected's. Staring into his eyes lovingly with his own single eye, he wished he could have known the hunter before the infection. They could have had some fun, without the risk of humans or other infected interrupting them. Jordan was having much difficulty getting Alex's shirt off, so when he carefully slashed it off with his claws, Alex was interested. The smaller hunter lightly bit the older man's neck, sucking softly. Jordan, realizing Alex liked this, if his quiet groan and slightly arched back was anything to go by, began to suck harder on the smoker's neck. "Kinky," Alex said, earning a half-glare from the inexperienced hunter. Jordan, noticing that they were on the floor in the living room, spoke up. "Maybe we should move this to the bedroom." Alex nodded, standing. He held his hand out for the small hunter, which he took, smiling. As they began walking down the room to the hall, Alex's hand had wandered to the shorter man's ass, and he was groping him. "What are you doing?" Jordan asked, cocking an eyebrow and looking at Alex. "Oh, nothing. Just grabbing your sexy little ass," was the reply. When the pair walked through the door to the bedroom, tall smoker slapped his short lover's ass and said playfully, "Get your sexy bod in bed." Jordan jumped and turned to stare at Alex. "Excuse me?" he said, one clawed hand on his hip. "You think I'm just gonna get to bed with you without any begging?" Jordan spoke in a whisper, running his hand down the smoker's arm. "Oh, so that's how it's gonna be. I see." The smoker started to back off, but instead grabbed the hunter's arms behind Jordan's back and wrapped another around his waist. "Then I'm just gonna have to force you." "Ah!" replied Jordan, as Alex threw him on the bed. The tall infected held Jordan's arms above his head and started grinding their hips together. "For being innocent, he does this damn good," thought Alex, as he looked into the panting hunter. This is an author's note. Leaves you to imagine all the harder yaoi scenes as I get tissues for my nosebleed. Not much later, Alex was in Jordan and had him nearly screaming, which was his intention when he saw the small hunter in the suggestive pose. "Loud much?" Alex said, smirking down at the blushing hunter. "Damn it, Alex. Shut up before I sick a witch on your ass." The little infected snapped, but the effect was lost as the words were drowned out by his own moans. They didn't leave the bedroom for hours, even when they heard shooting in the street below. Nor did they really hear the survivors shouting for the group to enter the apartment. Being only on the second floor, they probably would reach them pretty quickly. They paid no mind to the threat, though, as they were too busy with the task at hand. Jordan was getting progressively louder, and his loud moans eventually turned into near screams. The pair didn't hear the footsteps outside the door, but turned in shock towards it when it opened. Light flooded on the pair as three survivors, all men, just stared in shock at the scene before them. "Oh my god, are they doing what I think they're doing?" one human said to the rest. The infected pair had pretty much frozen the second the guns were in their sight, and just blinked at the human men. "You know, if they can think for themselves and do this..." The other man blushed but continued, "Maybe they are kind of human." The other two men turned to him as one said, "Troy, they're zombies!" Troy turned to the smoker, who had used the distraction to pull out of his lover and covered their laps with a blanket, and asked him slowly, "Can you speak?" Alex blinked but tried anyway. "What are you doing here?" he managed to choke out, while all three survivors stared in shock. "God damn, he spoke," the older-looking one said, then looked to the hunter. "Oh shit, I never realized that hunters could look sexy." Jordan squeaked and hid behind Alex as he wrapped an arm around him and growled lightly. Troy hit the man in the arm while saying, "Cut it out, Kevin, he didn't mean it like that. It's not like he'll try and take her from you." Jordan jumped out from behind Alex and looked like a dog with how he was sitting on the bed, angrily yelling, "Who are you calling a goddamn girl, you fuck ass?" Alex, Troy, Kevin, and the other man gaped at the small hunter, all for different reasons. Kevin thought, damn, he's huge, but not as big as that smoker. While Troy and the other men were thinking, he can talk too, maybe they are close to human. And all the while, all Alex could think was, oh, look at my little Uke standing up for himself. He's so damn sexy when he asks, when he acts tough. Growling, Jordan sat back and covered his lap again. Just like that, his mood changed. Oh hey, I can talk, he said, grinning. His adorable smile was contagious, and soon everyone in the room, or doorway, was smiling too. There was a flash of red like a witch's eyes in the slightly open closet door across from the bed. The other survivor, who Alex didn't know the name of yet, suddenly pulled his gun back up and shouted, hey, there's a fucking witch in the closet! Alex and Jordan jumped out of the bed and ripped open the closet door, and surely enough, there was a witch. With a surprised noise, she looked up at them. The young infected woman was holding a rag to her bloody nose. Jordan saw that she had a video camera in her hand. She gasped when he snatched it from her hand, but quietly looked down and blushed when he turned it on. The three humans and Alex crowded behind him to look at the small video screen. As the video played, Jordan was brushing a bright red while the four other men had slight hard-ons. They didn't expect the seemingly quiet small hunter to be able to bend like that and scream so much. And they most certainly did not expect to see him able to deep-throat a smoker. I mean, just look at him. Jordan stared down the witch, who tried to look innocent. He shouted, why the fuck did you videotape me and my boyfriend having sex? And how did we not notice you in the freaking closet being a pervert? The witch backed into the closet a little more and twiddled her claws. Well, she began, I've been hiding in here for quite some time and I heard you guys came in. I had this camera with me anyway, and when I sensed Yowie, I just had to tape it. Please don't kill me, she pleaded, crying as her eyes and skin glowed a brighter red from distress. Alex took the camera and set it on the bedside table, thinking, I'll just watch that later. He then spoke to the teen witch, saying, don't worry, we aren't going to kill you as long as you don't kill us or these three things. Pointing to them, he noticed them squirming where they stood, obviously turned on by the unexpected hunter and smoker couple. Noticing the smoker's look, the third unnamed man spoke up. No, I'm not gay, but that might have made me have second thoughts. And no, he won't hurt you either. I'm Nathan, by the way, he said, extending a fingerless gloved hand. Alex took it and slowly shook it, eyeing the men suspiciously with a single eye. Y'all aren't thinking of raping my Uki, are you? He said, looking between the humans. Seeing them all shake their heads no, he was satisfied. Just then, Jordan spoke up after being quiet for so long. So now we have a yaoi-obsessed witch and three horny men. What now? Me being raped by a tank? They all looked around nervously, not really wanting it to happen. When nothing transpired, Alex began talking. You know, it's okay that y'all are here, but we really need to find a new hideout, because somebody, he emphasized the last word and looked at Jordan, who was blushing furiously, decided to be just a bit too loud, not that it wasn't enjoyable to hear, and had alerted a lot of other zombies and special infected to our little hidey hole. They all nodded, and the witch got up and stepped out of the closet. Now that she was in the light, they could see her dark brown scene-style hair and black Hershey's glasses. She was in a black bra, which made her unusually large chest bounce with barely any movement, and black panties. They weren't ripped like any of the other witches because she didn't want to shed her only clothing. She spoke up after a bit, a little cold. Do you have any clothes here? Like maybe a shirt and shorts? She smiled and shifted on her feet uncomfortably. Alex and Jordan nodded simultaneously and pointed to a dresser. When the young witch opened a drawer, the only items in the piece of furniture was a black, long-sleeved, off-one-shoulder shirt and a pair of track shorts. She nodded her thanks to the fellow infected and pulled them on. The shirt was slightly big, and the shorts were comfy. Smiling, she introduced herself. Hello, I'm Roxy, she said, extending her clawed hand. Each person in the room shook her hand, minding the claws, and felt a little safer now that they knew she wouldn't go berserk. Troy tried to begin a conversation, saying, so, any of you infected remember your human lives? This question got three stares. He held up his hands in front of him, waving a little in defense. Hey, no harm in being curious, eh? The infected nodded, while Alex said he couldn't remember anything except his name. Jordan kept it simple as, I only remember the horrors of my past, which he received strange looks for saying. The human survivors looked at Roxy, awaiting her answer. She smiled and told him, "I remember everything." The room's occupants, infected and human alike, all gaped at her. "Seriously? That's awesome!" Jordan said, beaming back at her. She nodded and quickly changed the subject. "So, who's hungry?" she said, looking around at their growling stomachs. Jordan held onto his tummy as it growled the loudest. Kevin, seemingly the oldest of the group, asked the zombies a question that baffled them. "Do you eat people?" Author's note. Oh my god, when I wrote my Microsoft spell check tried to change to hump. XDD uber lol Microsoft. Maybe I should have let it change it. Wow, this story turned out to be a whole lot longer than I expected. I didn't even plan to add the survivors or the witch, lol. In case you're wondering, yes, the witch is me. Of course, I'm not pretty enough, in my opinion, to be like a witch. But hey, a girl can dream. So anyway, wanna show me some love in R&R? I could really use the support, cause I'm thinking of dropping my FMA story, even though it had a really good plot and I had a specific way it was going. I lost the drive to write more of it, but I'm thinking of rewriting it over the summer, so I can add more details and fix a lot of stuff. Please let me know what you think of the story, and of me discontinuing my other story if you read it. Gives you a cookie for reading. Arigato gozaimasu. Well, I'm gonna go kill myself.
Anyway, can we do our little segue out now? That's all right. Thanks to everyone who listened to this podcast. Thanks to everyone who participated in this podcast. This has been the official podcast of the Gentlemen's Lunchtime Association. And you can see more excellent streams featuring these people at lunchtime.org.uk. And also, you might see some interesting things at gatheryourparty.com, because that site should be going up at some point in the next couple of weeks. We'll be back in 3 weeks from now. I don't know what date that is. Sorry about that. So, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Can you ever read Bane's all that in?
What?
I don't even know who this person is.
She's not some actress.
It's
you know, you don't
enough.
Need to know who Megan Fox is.
No, you don't. She has toe thumbs. Don't even worry about it.
She has toe thumbs.
It's so funny!